Dirt matters. Ask any gardener, ask any farmer, and they will tell you that the type of dirt, the quality of dirt that you have, really determines what you grow and what your yield will be. Some plants, like radishes and squash, thrive in slightly more acidic soil, while others have a hard time in that sort of environment. The clay soil of Tennessee, while it poses a challenge for all of those who grow crops, you can grow vegetables if you try hard. Though according to an internet article that I read recently, crops like alfalfa, potatoes, radishes, squash, zucchini, all do well in the nutrient-rich clay soil. The challenge is always managing the water and incorporating enough organic matter into the soil to improve the drainage. Now, this year we added a new section to Katie's garden. Many of the plants on that side of the garden haven't done all that well. Recently, Bob had a friend who is a master gardener come out and look at the garden to get his opinion, and he almost immediately knew what the issue was. The pH levels were off. He tested the dirt, and it was too acidic. This is something that we'll have to address either later this fall or in the spring. And it probably will take just adding some lime to it. The new side of the garden hasn't had the advantage of years of soil amendment that the old side of the garden has had. Now, we did bring in about 20 cubic yards of mushroom compost this past spring, and most of that went on the new side of the garden. But as you all know, the dirt that we used, the Tennessee topsoil, everyone knows that's just clay, right? And those areas stay pretty wet, and the clay doesn't drain well. And so a lot of the plants on that side of the garden are pretty small. And I don't expect to get much from those plants, if anything. But we do what we can. A couple of truckloads of sand, maybe this spring or this coming spring, or maybe even this fall, is going to help us tremendously to break up that clay and to help it to drain. But the funny thing is that even though the dirt's not great, the weeds still grow, and they grow all over. And if it wasn't for the landscape fabric that we put down, it would be out of control. There are some weeds that have roots that grow so deep, you can almost not pull them out. And others, like the wheat that grows in the straw covering, the roots are basically on the surface, and they have no substance to them at all. And it's all because the dirt matters. And as we move to the gospel reading for today, we have a parable recorded in three of four gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, Jesus is staying in a house by the Sea of Galilee, and he leaves the house and he goes down to the lakeside to teach the crowds. The crowds are big enough that Jesus has to get into a boat that was anchored there. And he tells them a parable about a farmer that went out to sow, the first of several parables that he tells the crowds that day. Now, a farmer in Palestine would be casting either wheat or barley. Both are grain crops, with wheat being the preferred seed. Barley would have been grown as a food crop for the poor and for animal feed. As the sower scatters the seed by tossing it by hand, the seed falls on different soil conditions that he encounters in his field. Now, when the seed falls on the footpath that ran through his field, the birds came and devoured it. Notice that the term used for the birds eating the seed is devour. Devoured is the same word used in Luke 15:30 and the parable of the prodigal son. It portrays a crazed intensity that is reflected in how the prodigal son wasted his father's money. Other seeds fell on rocky soil, which had no depth to it. The sun warmed the earth quicker here than in other places, which made the plants sprout very quickly here. But when the sun came back out, the plants had no root depth to withstand that heat, so they withered and they died. Other seeds fell in an area where there were some thorn seeds there as well. Both seeds sprouted together, but the thorns grew faster and stronger, and they choked out the grain seeds until the grain was no more. Still other seed fell on good rich soil, and it produced 30, 60, even 100 times more seed than what was planted. He who has ears, let him hear. The dirt mattered. I'm sure you probably guessed that you are the dirt in the story. Jesus is the farmer, and the seed is the word. There are days when you may feel like you are the hard-packed dirt of the path through a freshly plowed field. We may feel like we've been tramped on, walked on, and even stepped on. All around us, other Christians are just soaking up the word, digging in, living in the knowledge of the truth, letting it take root. But us path people, it just bounces off, scatters. We just don't understand it. We don't get it. We hear it, but it just does not take root. Or maybe we identify with the stoners, the stony ground people. We hear the gospel about forgiveness. It changes us for a while, but just on the surface. It doesn't get deep down into our hearts, our consciences, our priorities, our values. We have this spurt of growth, but when the challenges come, and they will come, we wither, dry up, turn to different solutions. But we could have also been planted in and with the thorny crowd. And they will do their best to scratch us and cause us pain. We hear and understand what God says to us, but the concerns of this life, our property, our money, our friends, our health, our status, all crowd in and choke the word out of us. The competition for our time, our talents, our treasures is fierce. And the concerns of this life make us fruitless and unproductive. All three of these scenarios prove that Jesus' words to us about dirt are very revealing. Dirt matters. The parable and the dirt illustrate to us our own spiritual slowness, our hardness. It tells us about our own hearts. But it also tells us something else. It tells us about the farmer. It tells us about our Savior. As is often the case with Jesus' parables and his teaching, the main point may not always be obvious, may not always be up front and center. Up to now, the main emphasis of the story seems to have been on the soil. And it is a major component of the parable. But let's look at the farmer for just a minute. The seed that the sower sows would have been a precious commodity. Yet the farmer spreads it with an almost abandoned attitude, when you would think that he could take a little better control on how he broadcasts it. Why spread the seed on the path, when it would have been obvious that the grain would not grow there and that people would walk on it anyway? That is hardly cost effective. And why is it that only about a quarter of his field is good soil, if the field is accurately represented by the four soil types? And knowing this, why would he hold nothing back and so generously and evenly over his whole field? If we equate the sower with Christ, and we should, And we know that Christ died for all and for all mankind, and we do. And everyone from the beginning of time until the last child is born is important to them, and they are. And that includes all that reject him. All the sins of the world have been laid on his shoulders. Heaven has been opened to all. The farmer in the parable sows his seed and continues to sow his seed everywhere, equally, holding nothing back, wanting everyone to come to faith until all come to salvation in his church. And despite the past, the stones, the thorns, some seeds do land on better soil and grow, producing fruit, each to his own given ability. And day by day, Sunday by Sunday, the seed that the farmer planted grows, producing faith and love in you. The soil of our heart is not perfect. We still battle sin continually. There are weeds of hate, envy, lust, greed, and others. Their long roots need to be pulled out, repented of, forgiven. The soil of our hearts must continually be amended by God's word. The gospel seed that changes even rocky dirt into good soil and softens our hard hearts. As the seed grows, we strengthen and deepen our roots of faith. As we remember our baptism and feast at the holy table of our Lord Jesus Christ, in, with, and under the bread and the wine that is his body and blood. And in response, we bear fruit 30, 60, 100 times even as we take God's word out into the garden of the church, into our communities, into the world, as God works through us to sow his seed. Jesus says in verse 9, "He who has ears, let him hear." The dirt matters. We see a great example of this as we compare the two sides of Katie's garden. But what matters even more is the farmer who sows his precious seed to everyone, no matter the soil. All dirt matters to the farmer. He wants everyone to be saved. The sower sows his seed in you, in me, in everyone. He sows his seed to all. And as that seed grows, we take our turn working for Christ in the strength of the Holy Spirit to take our turn sowing the seed. We take our turn being the sower, being the farmer. We spread the good news of Jesus Christ to others through our vocations as parents, as workers, as friends, as citizens that still enjoy the religious freedom as citizens of the United States. That's why Jesus explained these parables to the disciples. That's why he explained it to us today, so that we could clearly speak the word to others. Sow the seed, spread the gospel, reach others for Christ to the glory of his holy name. Amen.